Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, in today's broadcast, I want to talk about an article I read in the newspaper. The headlines were Alex Trebek opens up about his life in a book titled The Answer Is. And in the article, I read that he is now celebrating his 80th birthday. And the celebration of his eight decades coincides with the release of his Reflections on Life as codified in this book. Again, the book titled The Answer Is. Well, the story caught my eye for several reasons, not the least of which is that we both lived in Ontario, Canada, and both of us have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Mine diagnosed in 2017, and his 2 years later in 2019. Mine was mantle cell lymphoma, his pancreatic cancer. But both of us know what it is like to go through chemotherapy. We know what it's like to lose hair, to experience stomach cramps, mouth sores, and of course a host of other side effects of the radiation and the chemo and a host of other drugs that course through your body, killing cancer cells along with healthy cells. And both of us know what it takes to continue broadcasting in the midst of the battle. Moreover, both of us claim to be unafraid of death, but for very different reasons. You see, Trebek does not believe in a specific God. According to the article, he does not even believe in a particular version of the afterlife. I, on the other hand, do. In fact, I wrote a book titled Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. As my friend Lee Strobel wrote in the foreword to my book Afterlife, when you're on the verge of leaving this world, it becomes critically urgent to know what awaits you in the next. So what does await us in the next? What awaits Alex Trebek? What awaits me? In keeping with the title of Alex's new book, The Answer Is Eternity. If Alex is correct, the answer is what waits him is mere cosmic dust in the wind. In truth, however, reason requires those living in an age of scientific enlightenment to discard the bit of dust hypothesis. If we are merely material, freedom of the will is just an illusion. Trebek's choices are not free, they're fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics. Post-Enlightenment thinkers, they are in essence wretched flatlanders. While Trebek is a gifted game show host, when thinking about the realities of life after life, he appears to retreat into fundamentalist paradigms. Instead of considering the possibility that he could step through the wardrobe into Narnia, he supposes his 80 years is all there is. Far from exercising independent thought, he blindly supposes that nothing created everything, that life came from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals. Well, it's my hope and prayer that Alex Trebek will as yet be equipped to think Christianly about death and the afterlife. that he'll escape the company of flatlanders, that he'll come to realize that this physical universe does not exhaust reality. But what about you? All of us presently live in that dash between the date of our birth and the date of our death. For some, the dash is short. For others, like Alex, a bit longer. But for all of us, that tiny dash represents the duration of our present life on Earth. Whether you're old or young, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're male or female, you light the sky for the briefest of moments and then eternity. And in the meantime, what you and I do today, this week, this month, this year, will have direct consequences for all eternity. Thus, while culture seeks to focus your gaze on greatness, Christianity rightly focuses your gaze where it belongs, on grace and on godliness. Think for a moment with me about the greats in the celebrated history of humanity. From the perspective of life and legacy, I can't think of anyone greater than Alexander the Great. He was a veritable superstar. Astride his mighty black steed, he sent tremors of terror down the spines of the Medo-Persian military when Darius offered him the entirety of the Persian Empire west of the Euphrates in return for peace. Well, Alexander merely responded in bloody pursuit. He defeated Darius and, in concert with the prophecies of Daniel, he became the supreme monarch of the ancient world. And yet, in keeping with Daniel's prophetic words, at the height of his power, his large horn was broken off. And in its place, four prominent horns grew up toward the four winds of heaven. Just 1 month shy of his 33rd birthday, Alexander the Great, who allegedly wept because there were no more kingdoms to conquer, was dead. Some time ago, Kathy, my wife, gave me an icon of Saint Sissos. He was great among the ascetics. This icon, an icon that I pass every day as I walk into CRI's broadcast studio, this icon features Abba Sissos standing before the tomb of Alexander. Alexander, known as, I mentioned before, the Great, the Emperor of the Greeks. Horrified by the inexorable passing of time and the vanity of this transient world, Sissos cried out aloud, "Beholding thee, O grave, I fear the judgment of God, and I weep, for the common destiny of all mankind comes to mind. O death, who can escape thee?" Ah, the vicissitudes of time and the transience of glory. Whether Alexander the Great or Alex Trebek, or for that matter, you or I. As I mentioned on a previous Bible Answer Man broadcast, Kathy proceeded to remind me of the last wishes of Alexander the Great. On his deathbed, he summoned his army generals and voiced his last three wishes: that the best doctors carry his coffin, that the wealth he had accumulated be scattered along the procession to his place of burial, you know, the money, the gold, the precious stones, and that his hands be let loose so that they hang outside the coffin for everyone to see them. And one of the generals, surprised by these unusual requests, asked Alexander to explain. Alexander allegedly responded, "I want the best doctors to carry my coffin, to demonstrate that in the face of death, even the best doctors in the world have no power to heal. I want the road to be covered with my treasure, so that everyone sees that material wealth acquired on this earth will stay on this earth." and I want my hands to swing freely in the wind so that people understand that we come to this world empty-handed, and we leave this world empty-handed as well after the most precious treasure of all is exhausted. That treasure, T-I-M-E, our time. We do not take to our grave any material wealth. Time is our most precious treasure because it is limited. For Alex Trebek, for you, for me. We can produce more wealth, but we can't produce more time. When I come back from the break, I want to talk about another great. You'll be surprised when I say perhaps you'll be surprised, that John the Baptist is that very person, that he is the greatest of all. I'll be talking about all of that as I conclude this particular broadcast, focusing your and my attention on our own mortality. Only one life soon will be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We'll be right back.
According to Scripture, there are only two kinds of people, those who on bended knee confess Jesus as Lord and those unbowed who experience eternal separation from God's grace and goodness. Your ministry support helps rescue lost souls with the truth. And to thank you for your gift today, we'll rush you a copy of Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with exciting truths about your eternal future. Request your copy with your gift today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hannah Graff will be back with more right after this.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity, but how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward him, right in her own bedroom through the light of his gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hannah Graff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before the break, I was talking about Alexander the Great, so great that he wept when there were no more lands to conquer. But John the Baptist was also great in a different sense. He didn't wear fine clothes or live in a palace, nor was he the ruler of an expansive empire. And yet the Creator of heaven and earth afforded him the ultimate commendation, saying, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Indeed, who could be greater than John? He was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was the Elijah who was to come. He was the very one the prophet Malachi had famously predicted would prepare the way for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Alexander ruled the world. John the Baptist? Well, John the Baptist prepared the way for the world that is to come. Though he's beheaded in the prime of his life, John the Baptist had extreme significance for both time and for eternity. And yet, despite John's greatness, Jesus said, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than even John. Well, how can that be? How can one like you or I be greater than the one of whom Christ said, among those born of women, there's not risen one greater than John the Baptist? Well, to borrow Alex Trebek's title, the answer is, the Old Testament prophets predicted the coming of Christ, and the last of them prepared the way for him. But you and I, we live between the inauguration of the kingdom of heaven and the consummation when heaven and earth are joined as one. We have been left as Messiah's mediators by which this present universe is to be transformed. It's not as though we're waiting to be raptured out of this world. No, you and I are not going anywhere. Heaven and earth have been conjoined. Jesus is coming back, and as St. Paul puts it, he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring with him salvation to those who are waiting for him. And when he appears again, heaven and earth will be as one. Heaven and earth will be united, just as it was before the advent of decay and disease and destruction and death. The dwelling of God will be here, not there, but here. God himself will live with redeemed and resurrected humanity. They'll be his people. And God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. What that means for you, for me, for Alex Trebek, for the 7.8 billion plus people who populate this planet, and by the way, many who have as yet to hear about the Lord. What that means for all of us is that our present life matters. We're not going to be resurrected to another world. We await our resurrection in this world. The world is not about to be scrapped. God does not scrap things. He redeems them. It will ultimately be, it will be resurrected. It now groans in travail, but it will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and we are partakers in that process. That is precisely what St. Paul meant in saying that the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Do you get that? Creation and its crowning jewels will be revealed in splendor. That means you. That means me. Your greatness is not a function of the stuff or status gained by jeopardy, or for that means, by talent. It's a function of being a son or a daughter of the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom that is now inaugurated but one day will be consummated. We don't pray, "Your kingdom come, thy will be done," as if in vain. Nor do we pray passively. We're mediators of God's revelation. We're mediators of His redemption. We are rescuing stewards of creation. And as such, the words of Jesus have personal application. "You have been faithful with a few things," said Jesus. "I will put you in charge of many things. Come, come, share your master's happiness." We have been called to fulfill the Great Commission. We have been commissioned to fulfill the cultural mandate. We have been called to be Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. But we're also commanded to be fruitful, to increase in number, to fill the earth, to subdue it, to rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves upon the ground. In essence, you and I are being honed as caretakers of a restored garden. The answer is, for Alex Trebek, for you, for me, that answer is that what we do now counts for all eternity. So if you were on Jeopardy, that's the answer you ought to give. The answer is, what you do now counts for all eternity. And I don't think that we oftentimes think critically about eternity. I was reading a quote just today by C.S. Lewis, and he sort of puts things in perspective when he says this: "It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you'd be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long we are, in some degree, helping each other to one or the other of these destinies. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities, it is with the awe and with the circumspection proper to them, that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, whom we work with, whom we marry, who we snub, who we exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors." This, to C.S. Lewis and vicariously to all of us, is the weight of glory. Christ, he said, is turning you into a different sort of thing, into a new little Christ, a being which, in its own small way, has the same kind of life as God, which shares in His power, in His joy, in His knowledge, and in His eternity. If we get close to Christ, like an infection, like COVID-19, we shall catch this new life from Him. And as such, we will experience God's unmediated presence. In the shimmering between light and darkness, we may well experience the beatific vision. Adam and Eve walking with God in the cool of the day, we may well look through the other side of the wardrobe and catch a vision of Eden reborn, a future paradise of peace and joy, of ultimate transformation. Eden lost in the afterglow of death will then become, as promised, Eden restored. And in the meantime, you and I should purge the toxins, cleanse the lenses, let the shining begin. Oh, how I pray that Alex Trebek and millions, perhaps billions others, will come to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that prayer also involves a process. It means standing shoulder to shoulder together in the battle for life and truth. It means making a difference while there's yet time. In the last remaining moments, I want to mention Afterlife, what you need to know about heaven, the hereafter, and near-death experiences, that book available for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.